I already paid for it. So let's go.
Where?
To see my boss.
Who's your boss?
A man called Lane.
You're not a cop, Reacher said.
That's my guess, based on observation.
Of what?
Your accent?
You're not American, you're British.
The NYPD isn't that desperate.
Most of us are Americans, the British guy said.
But you're right. We're not cops. We're private citizens.
What kind?
The kind that will make it worth your while if you give them a description of the individual who drove that car away.
Worth my while how?
Financially.
Is there any other way?
Lots of other ways, Reacher said.
I think I'll stay right here.
This is very serious.
How?
The guy in the suit sat down again.
I can't tell you that.
Goodbye, Reacher said.
Not my choice, the guy said.
Mr. Lane made it mission critical that nobody knows. For very good reasons.
Reacher tilted his cup and checked the contents. Nearly gone.
You got a name? He asked.
Do you?
You first.
In response, the guy stuck a thumb into the breast pocket of his suit coat and slid out a black leather business card holder. He opened it up and used the same thumb to slide out a single card. He passed it across the table. It was a handsome item. Heavy linen stock, raised lettering, ink that still looked wet. At the top, it said, Operational Security Consultants.
OSC, Reacher said.
Like the license plate. The British guy said nothing.
Reacher smiled. You're security consultants, and you got your car stolen?
I can see how that could be embarrassing. The guy said,
It's not the car we're worried about.
Lower down on the business card was a name, John Gregory. Under the name was a subscript, British Army retired, then a job title, Executive Vice President.
How long have you been out? Reacher asked.
Of the British Army, the guy called Gregory said.
7 years.
Unit?
SAS.
You still got the look.
You too, Gregory said.
How long have you been out?
7 years.
Unit?
U.S. Army CID, mostly.
Gregory looked up, interested.
Investigator?
Mostly.
Rank?
I don't remember, Reacher said. I've been a civilian 7 years.
Don't be shy, Gregory said.
You are probably a lieutenant colonel at least.
Major, Reacher said.
That's as far as I got.
Career problems?
I had my share.
Got a name?
Most people do.
What is it?
Reacher.
What are you doing now?
I'm trying to get a quiet cup of coffee.
You need work?
No, I don't.
I was a sergeant, Gregory said.
Reacher nodded.
I figured.
SAS guys usually are. And you've got the look.
So will you come with me and talk to Mr. Lane?
I told you what I saw. You can pass it on.
Mr. Lane will want to hear it direct.
Reacher checked his cup again.
Where is he?
Not far.
10 minutes.
I don't know. I'm enjoying my espresso.
Bring it with you.
It's in a foam cup.
I prefer peace and quiet.
All I want is 10 minutes.
Seems like a lot of fuss over a stolen car, even if it was a Mercedes-Benz.
This is not about the car.
So what is it about?
Life and death.
Right now, more likely death than life.
Reacher checked his cup again. There was less than a lukewarm 1/8 inch left, thick and scummy with espresso mud. That was all. He put the cup down.
Okay, he said.
So let's go. Chapter 2. The blue German sedan turned out to be a new BMW 7 Series with OSC vanity plates on it. Gregory unlocked it from 10 feet away with a key fob remote, and Reacher got in the front passenger seat sideways and found the switch and moved the seat back for legroom. Gregory pulled out a small silver cell phone and dialed a number. "Incoming. We're a witness," he said, clipped and British. Then he closed the phone and fired up the engine and moved out into the midnight traffic. The 10 minutes turned out to be 20. Gregory drove north on 6th Avenue all the way through Midtown to 57th Street, and then 2 blocks west. He turned north on 8th, through Columbus Circle, onto Central Park West, and into 72nd Street. He stopped outside the Dakota Building.
"Nice digs," Reacher said.
"Only the best for Mr. Lane," Gregory said, nothing in his voice.
They got out together and stood on the sidewalk, and another compact man in a gray suit stepped out of the shadows and into the car and drove it away. Gregory led Reacher into the building and up in the elevator. The lobbies and the hallways were as dark and baronial as the exterior.
"You ever seen Yoko?" Reacher asked.
"No," Gregory said.
They got out on 5, and Gregory led the way around a corner, and an apartment door opened for them. The lobby staff must have called ahead. The door that opened was heavy oak, the color of honey, and the warm light that spilled out into the corridor was the color of honey, too. The apartment was a tall, solid space. There was a small, square foyer open to a big, square living room. The living room had cool air and yellow walls and low table lights and comfortable chairs and sofas all covered in printed fabric. It was full of 6 men. None of them were sitting down. They were all standing up, silent. 3 wore gray suits similar to Gregory's, and 3 were in black jeans and black nylon warm-up jackets. Reacher knew immediately they were all ex-military, just like Gregory. They all had the look. The apartment itself had the desperate, quiet feel of a command bunker far from some distant point where a battle was right then turning to shit. All 6 men turned and glanced at Reacher as he stepped inside. None of them spoke. But 5 men then glanced at the 6th, which Reacher guessed identified the 6th man as Mr. Lane, the boss. He was half a generation older than his men. He was in a gray suit. He had gray hair buzzed close to his scalp. He was maybe an inch above average height and slender. His face was pale and full of worry. He was standing absolutely straight, racked with tension, with his fingertips spread and touching the top of a table that held an old-fashioned telephone and a framed photograph of a pretty woman.